For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
The Red Sox one out away from a shutout, combined shutout for Bayo and Jansen. Here's a swing by Varsho. Line drive to center. Duran's there, and he has it. Easy 1-2-3, ninth inning for Kenley Jansen. And a beautifully pitched game by the Red Sox tonight. And as a result, the game played in just 2 hours and 5 minutes. Whew. Red Sox win it 3-0. Jansen comes on for his 25th save in 28 opportunities. And Lou, you said it, Brian Bayo, best we've ever seen.
Yeah, that's the best game he's ever pitched in the big leagues.
Without a doubt, Brian Bayo delivered the best outing of his major league career tonight. The Red Sox win 3-0, and all of a sudden they have life once again. 3.5 games out of the third wild card spot, and the Twins right now are losing to the Atlanta Braves by a score of 5-1. We'll continue to keep you updated on that game. So there's a good chance that the Red Sox by night's end will be 3 games out of the third wild card spot. Brian Bayo, masterful tonight. 8 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. And because of his great outing, the Red Sox take down the Blue Jays 3-0. As you can tell, I'm fired up. Joe Weil with you here at Fenway Park. Nico Manganiello back at WEEI. We will be with you all the way up to 11 p.m. to break down tonight's game. These are the types of nights that we want to hear from you the most, because not only did a guy that has been locked up long-term, a young player, deliver in a way that we had been expecting all season long but hadn't quite been getting, but on top of that, it came in a big spot, and all of a sudden, with the way things are trending, the Red Sox are actually not in as bad a position as it might seem to try to sneak into the playoff picture. So 617-779-7937 is the number to call in. We want to hear from you. Let me give you the phone number one more time. 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well if you like. So many ways to chime in, but again, this is the night. This is the type of night that it's almost required of you to be involved with the show, because as a fan, you live for nights like this. These are the nights that suck you back in and give you some hope about what this team can ultimately accomplish down the stretch. There is still some ground they need to pick up. Their Fangraphs playoff odds, if that means anything to you, was right around 18% coming into tonight. That now improves, and it can look even better if the Twins lose tonight. We know about the Sox schedule coming up. The Tigers are playing better. They got the Mets, but then they have the White Sox afterwards. This is the time to gain some ground. So don't pour dirt on the grave quite yet, because the Sox, as they've shown the last couple nights, even without Rafael Devers, they're still alive. And tonight proved that. 617-779-7937. Before we go any further, we have to hear from the head honcho, the manager, Alex Cora, and would love to hear what he has to say after a game like this. And here is what he had to say. Hey.
That was amazing. That was fun to watch. On the control, pitch by pitch, he didn't get ahead, right? The sinker was good. The four-seamer was great. Change up, slider was outstanding. I mean, his best outing in big leagues. Against a team that has given him trouble, he was able to keep him on balance, use the fastball enough to keep them honest, and it was outstanding.
How much has increased the use of that fastball slightly? How much has that kind of set up the other pitches to sort of help?
I think it helps. It gives him breathing room. But that pitch got hit hard last year. We have to use it in certain spots and with certain hitters. I think last year he used it too much, and we paid the price. At the end of the day, the sinker and the changeup are, you know, his best pitches. And the slider is getting better and better. But using the four-seamer in certain spots, you know, there was a pitch up and in at one point to open the outside part of the plate. He's learning. He's learning how to use it. It's been good. It's been good for him.
His command has, you know, been coming up this year. What was working for him today?
He's working his ass off in between starts, man. Like he cares, you know. And physically, he's a beast, you know. He puts the work there. You see him; he's stronger than in the past. Between Bales, Ray, and obviously him, you know, they've been talking about using the inside part of the play against lefties, using the four seamer in certain spots. You know, the mental part of it, he's paying off now, and it's a total team effort.
Alex, from the beginning to the end, it looked like his confidence was very high.
Yeah, I think he understands where we at and what it's all about, you know, and he's been pitching well for a while here. It's not like all of a sudden this happened, right, because he was struggling. No, he's been throwing the ball well for a month and a half. Stuff-wise, it's been more than a month and a half. Now it's execution, and, you know, the two-seamer to Blatty, right away, you know, he beat George to the spot a few times. Barsha, swing and misses all the whole night. So, and the thing is that, you know, he was locked in. He was excited, but not too excited, right? Like, he was very level, staying in the moment, and, you know, gave us a much-needed outing, you know, where we were bullpen-wise. And, you know, obviously, we got a chance to win the series tomorrow.
Did he want to finish the game, or was he good?
There was no... There's no discussion there.
No temptation on your part? Like, he's at 96?
There's no discussion there.
How impressive was it, just especially considering it was a 1-0
game, really, for, you know, close to the end? Yeah, but he was in control. You know, he did a good job. Their guy did an outstanding job, too. I love the way he pitches. Love it. You know, just changing speeds and, you know, the thought process of using the sinker away and the cutter up and the breaking ball, and, you know, like he put a clinic to Bassett, you know, after we put pressure on him, he made some pitches. So every pitch tonight meant something, you know, until the end, right? Like the big man had some breathing room there, and he was outstanding too. But Bayou and Bassett, they were great the whole night.
Sorry, you talked before the game about how when O'Neill gets going power-wise, how important that is for you. I mean, couldn't have come in a better spot, right?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like, people make a big deal out of Fenway and how we struggle and all that stuff, but, you know, that poolside homers play here. And, you know, when he's locked in, you know, he helps, you know. It was a 1-0 game. Hammy gets on. One pitch, and all of a sudden we can breathe, right? And that's what I was talking about. And I'm glad that he hit that one. Put some good at bats, hit the ball the other way, stay on the fastball, didn't jump on the off-speed pitches. So hopefully this is the beginning of something great.
What happened?
When he bunted, hit his finger, so he's pretty sore. So we'll see where we at. You know, I got to talk to Brandon and see where we at.
What's it like watching Jaren's first at bat of the game right now?
Like I said, you better show up early to the ballpark, you know. I used to play in a place that people showed up in third and leave in the seventh. Cannot do that here, you know, because something cool might happen.
Do you think Bales put any pressure on himself because of that contract?
Really? I don't believe so. I think he wasn't executing. The stuff was always there, and, you know, he didn't have the command of it, and he paid the price. A lot of big swings with men on. He was shying away from contact, but I think it was just a matter of time. You know, he's learning at the big league level. He's still young. He's still a kid, and I do believe he's still a work in progress. You know, this is not the final product. There's more, and with the adjustments we made 2 months ago, whenever it was, to reintroduce the four-seamer, probably he felt more comfortable, right? And I think, you know, like I said, it's a total team effort with this.
You mentioned the work in the gym. Has that been more than it was in the beginning of the year? Is he trying to get
stronger? No, it's just the progression of the player, right? And you see him. He's a lot stronger than last year. In spring training, I saw it. I was like, wow, he put the work. You know, he's very diligent. Obviously, you know, he goes to the academy when he's in the Dominican. Even when they had the baby, he went to the academy. He understands what he needs to do to pitch every 5 days at the big league level.
Is Hamilton having an X-ray?
I don't know yet, bro. I'm going to talk to Brandon. Thank you.
All right, that is Alex Cora talking after the Sox 3-0 win over the Toronto Blue Jays. Brian Bale, the story of the night. Rocking the navy sleeves, looking like Pedro of old, right? You remember those old days where Pedro had those navy sleeves going, and I know everybody's talked about Brian Bale, the nickname Baby Pedro. He pitched like Pedro tonight. I mean, this was an incredible performance. I know the Blue Jays don't have the best offense in the league, and far from that, but he was in control from the get-go. 8 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts, 15 whiffs. He was pouring in strikes, which to me was the most concerning thing about the way he had been pitching. The fact that he had 3 or more walks in each of his last 4 starts. He had 4 in that last start against the D-backs last Friday, in which he gave up 5 runs in 5 1/3 innings. There's still a chance for him to salvage this season and end it on a really strong note and have it be a part of a playoff push on top of that. Because tonight was awesome. The Sox may be taking a big step toward getting back into the playoff race because of the way that the Twins are playing against the Braves. They're down 5-1, 2 outs, nobody on, bottom of the 8th inning. If they lose that game, the Sox will be 3 back of the 3rd wild card spot with an easy stretch or easy-ish stretch of games coming up, Tigers, Mets, but then really easy, hopefully, in the White Sox here at Fenway Park. Again, this is the night to hear from you because this is the night that can suck you back in as a fan. I was talking with Andy Hart and Christian Arkham before I hopped on the pregame show. They were kind of talking about where I was at, and I was telling them, am I a sucker for saying, hey, they're, you know, kind of being pulled back into it with the way it looked tonight, 4 games out with 30 to go, and probably, or most likely because of what the odds are at this point. But the biggest thing is it's not over quite yet. And I've been on these post-game shows and sometimes said out loud, I think this is it for the Sox. And then they immediately show that that's not the case. And Alex Cora giving these guys a little bit of time to rest, telling them to come in a little bit later yesterday, set the tone for them to rest their bodies, rest their minds, and get back to playing the game well like they had before that stretch. And they did that yesterday. They followed that same protocol today. They even played a little Top Golf game out from the monster seats at Fenway to, again, ease things up. It was for a fantasy football drafting position. And Danny Jansen, he was the one that ended up getting it close to the pin the most. And it was fun to watch, to be here pregame, to see the players do that and kind of share a laugh before the game, because as much as they've taken this season seriously, and again, that is the one thing you can say about this team, is that they've put the effort night in, night out there. They've lost games, obviously, but the effort's always been there. But sometimes with this game and how hard it is, it's nice to take a little bit of pressure off every once in a while. And this team is having fun again, and hard not to, especially when Brian Bello, a guy that you've locked up long-term, delivered the way he did tonight. Again, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Let's kick off the calls with Liam in Portsmouth. What's going on, Liam?
Just going to put this out there after I've been giving him a hard time. I think I woke O'Neal up.
Liam, you were. Yeah, I know. You gave him a little bit of motivation, but that was a big home run tonight.
I've given him a hard time a few days in a row on the show. But it's nice to see. Everyone thought we were down and out a couple days ago, and it was easy to think that. But what I wanted people to remember is where the Texas Rangers were last time. We were battling with them for a spot, and they looked like they were out of it, and you know how that ended up. But, hey, we paid all that money to Chris Sale. We've heard a lot of negative calls on this show about letting go of Chris Sale. Obviously, it was the right move considering what we had from him in the last few years. But we paid him big money for for that game today that he threw. But overall, with Bayo's start, this was a well-needed start by a starter. We didn't have to go to the bullpen. It was a really important day off for the bullpen with injuries and struggling. And now what we really need to see tomorrow is Cutter's got to go out and throw a good one, and a solid 5 to 6, not these solid 3 innings that he's been throwing.
I agree, Liam. It's another big one for Cutter Crawford. He's one of those guys that you've worried about, you know, as a fan down the stretch here in the second half, just the way the season has gone. And I'm glad you brought up Chris Sale, because he is pitching tonight. I mentioned that for the Braves against the Twins. His night's over. He allowed 1 run in 6 innings. The Sox, as you probably know, for those of you out there listening, and Liam, appreciate the call. And if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. As you guys probably know, the Red Sox are still paying Chris Sale because his contract worth $27.5 million. The Braves responsible for $10.5 million of that deal. So the Red Sox paying it in part. And he's doing the Red Sox a favor tonight with the way that he has performed on the mound against the Twins. And we'll see if it ultimately ends up in a victory for Atlanta over Minnesota. It would help the Red Sox chances, obviously, because they would be 3 back by the end of the night. But Bayo was everything and more tonight, and they'll need more of him down the stretch. I think one thing for him that's different than Houck or Crawford is that he threw a really solid amount of innings last year. If you don't remember the total amount, it was 157. So he throws 8 tonight, so that means he's up to 137 innings this year. He's kind of already done that in terms of hit that mark, pitching pretty much a full season like he did last year. He made 28 starts. So in terms of that tiring down part, I'm not as worried about Brian Bayo as I might be worried about other guys. Cutter Crawford, we need a solid outing out of him. Now, they do have Rich Hill in the bullpen, now ready to go whenever they need him. Of course, it would be his first outing of the season once he gets out there. But I think in part you get a guy like Chris Sale within your, you know, your bullpen so that he could possibly give you some length out of the bullpen if you need it. Crawford pitched solidly last time out, 2 runs in 5 innings against the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's gone roughly 5 In really his last 7 starts. He went 4 2/3 innings in one, 3 2/3 innings in another, and then he went 5 1/3 in 3 other outings within this 7-start stretch. But if you can get a solid 5 out of him in tomorrow's game, I think the Sox might be in decent shape. And that's because of the way Bayo pitched tonight. I think Jansen might be down tomorrow. We will see. He's been liked to pitch when obviously it means the most, but he's now pitched back-to-back days. But they need a solid 5 out of Crawford tomorrow. That would go a long way for this team. Again, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Carl in Westfield. He's up next. What's going on, Carl?
Well, Joe, wild. This is enough to make anybody start drinking. And just before I get to Bayo Puck destroying him, we got Chris Sale with his Cy Young in a perfect season. Christ, I'm glad. He deserves it. Didn't do that with us. Last night we got a 5-game series. Toronto's catcher supposed to bat because he was at Toronto. Now he's at the Red Sox. The manager says, nah, sit out. You ain't hitting because you play with them. And then he goes out and catches for us. That was a 5-game series where a player played for both teams and because of a rain delay. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, yeah, it was a suspended game. So he was with the Blue Jays and then the Sox traded for him. So he switched sides. They had to pinch hit for him because he was hitting when the game got halted, and then he was catching for the Sox once it got resumed.
Yeah, he was at bat and had one out. So he could have batted for them, but the coach didn't want him hitting. I guess what? Because he's with the Red Sox? What's he think? He's going to go out and strike out on purpose?
I don't know. Carl, you're 2 days late to this story, though. This is the talk of baseball.
Around, let's talk about no, but I miss you. I have to update my brain. So
that's all good. You're right. And I miss talking to you too, Carl.
Yes, sir. Now, again, the difference between what people think is being done and what the players are thinking, it's usually night and day. So I appreciate your view of the dirt on the team and the season's over and blah, 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 blah. that was a terrible loss. Just of how many in a row, I was just shocking. You think, can it get any worse? And they're losing to, like, the worst teams in baseball. So you had a fair reason. But then again, like you said, what Bayo does tonight, it's shocking. He did this a few months ago, a very similar game. And Crawford did that, where they come out and they look like Pedro, and they're shutting down the other team. That's what makes, if we can just get to the wild card, a great potential. And then the super bats coming back, and O'Neill, and again, Cora did it again the other day with the pinch hit, now has the record for most pinch hits, most home runs, and most success. He is like Cristobal Cora, and what he can bring out when it needs to be brought out, it's a tease, you know, but that's good. That's baseball, but don't think this guy's falling. Let's put it in this simple sentence. On both teams, there's the minors and the majors, like JV and varsity. And sometimes the varsity or JV, and sometimes the JV or varsity. It's a mixture of a season. Let's hope we can get there. And remember, this was kind of a junior varsity team playing with some veterans. So they've already outperformed themselves. You've had so many fun moments and shockers this year with Durant's doing, with Ted Williams, and what Rafael and Zaydon and the catcher Wong was doing great. There's a heck of a future for this team. Have fun. You know, look at the victories, not the losses.
I agree. And that's something that I've said a lot, and appreciate the call, Carl. That's something I've said a lot, too, on these shows, is like, okay, there will be disappointment if this team doesn't make the playoffs, because they've been in contention pretty much, from mid-June on, when they really turned things around in that Philly, you know, it started with getting that last game against the White Sox in that series in Chicago, which is, I laugh saying that because of how bad the White Sox were. But then they took 2 out of 3 against Philly, then they took 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, and then things, you know, really kind of jumped off from there for this team to kind of be into a position where they're fighting for a wild card spot. I think the overarching thing of this season is that your young core was leading the way this time, which you could in part say last year, but even more so now this year with all of the contributions from the young guys. But they still will need to add next year to really solidify themselves as a playoff contender that you can expect going into next season, because that's still a big part of it. There's two sides to it. You still want them to make the playoffs. But I think also, you know what the future kind of holds here for this team, and it's exciting. But again, there have been so many times now over the last couple of months where you think, all right, that was fun, but I think this ride is over. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't feel that way. If you start to talk yourself into it, and especially with the Sox right now trying to track down a team like Minnesota, I think the Royals are different, and I've said this a lot, but I'll say it again. They're different to me because they actively added at the trade deadline, where Minnesota didn't do that. In fact, their guy that they added at the trade deadline, their most notable acquisition, he ends up getting released by the Twins. So there's that part of it as well. Like they just didn't add, and this is a team that won their division last year. But they released Trevor Richards a month after trading for him. They've dealt with injuries too. Joe Ryan is on the 60-day DL or IL. And you have a team you're trying to beat or trying to surpass. And yes, the Sox trade deadline obviously has not worked out the way that they've hoped. All three pitchers that they acquired via trade are all injured. Paxton, Sims, Garcia. So that part of it hasn't worked out, but again, you're trying to catch a team that came into the season, didn't add the way that they, I think a lot of people thought they would, and then at the trade deadline, they didn't do anything or do anything noteworthy either. Again, their biggest name that they traded for, Trevor Richards, he's now been DFA'd by the organization. So it's doable. And the fact that you can also gain some ground on them just by playing them, they're going to be here in September. That's another thing that's working in your favor. You could catch them by playing them, but you have to make that gap, that margin shorter. Again, 617-779-7937. I know we got Wally from Fall River, AJ from Dover hanging on. Both of you guys and the rest of you, if you want to chime in, 617-779-7937. We will get to you on the other side of this break. We're going to take you all the way up to 11 p.m., so plenty of time to talk about tonight's great game. Brian Bayo delivering for the Sox. 8 shutout innings of baseball. We will talk more about it, but first let's go to Nico Manganiello and with what's trending on WEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Moved to second on a ground out. Scored on a two-out single by Willier Abreu. Swing and a miss. And a nifty changeup. An easy 1-2-3 inning for Bayo.
And it ended up being an easy night for Brian Bayo on the mound because he was dominant. 8 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts tonight. And that strikeout ended his night. He tossed 97 pitches, 66 of which for strikes. And that was the highlight from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. Hurry in and save big on a new Nissan at the Nissan End of Summer Sales event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Joe Weil with you here at Fenway Park. Nico Manganiello back at WEI as we chat Red Sox and the team picking up another big win tonight to keep themselves in the playoff picture and hoping that the Minnesota Twins fall, and that actually just went final. So the Twins lost to the Braves 5-1 at Target Field. So with that, the Sox are now 3 games back of Minnesota for the third wild card spot in the American League. 29 games remain. It's shaping up for a fun finish. And it didn't seem that way 2 days ago when this team lost 2 games, 1 suspended game that got completed, the regularly scheduled game. At that point, the Sox were 5 back. All of a sudden, they have life again. Life again. And we get to hopefully see this team continue to compete and eventually take a playoff spot before season's end. Number to call in, 617-779-7937. We want to hear from you after a fun win tonight. The crowd was into it because of how good Bayo was, but the Sox have now strung together back-to-back victories. Let's go back to the phones. We go to my man, Wally, in Fall River. What's going on, Wally?
What's up, Joe? I mean, this homestand started with Arizona, and you figure it's, what, 8 games? You figure we got to at least go 6-2. So far, only 2-5, which has been a disappointment. But we haven't played well at home. I mean, can you imagine if we were 500 at home? I think we're, what, 8 or 9 games under 500 at home.
Yeah, now, Wally, I can tell you right now, we're 31-37 now.
All right, so 6 games under. If we were even in 500, we'd be in very good shape, you know, going down the stretch. But they're going to have to hope that they can hit, you know, start winning 7 or 8 in a row. That's the only way they're going to do it, Joe. You can't depend on the other team to lose every night. You know, you just can't keep playing like they're playing. They're going to have to really get everything together, play good games like tonight. You just can't, you know, let it sink to 3 or 4 games or even 5 games back. Then all kind of hope will be lost. But they still have a chance. They still have a pulse. But they're going to have to step on the gas pedal, you know. And like I said, string together 7 or 8 wins in a row and not worry about Minnesota.
Yeah, and Wally, that's a great point, and I appreciate you making it. By the way, just to let everybody know, the Fangraphs playoff odds, again, if this means anything to you, you know, it came in roughly at 14.5% coming into tonight's action. It's been bumped up to 22.2 because of the Twins losing and the Sox winning tonight. So now they're three games back with 29 to go. To Wally's point, he's exactly right in the sense that the Sox on their own need to just take care of business. They can't be worrying about other teams. They just frankly have to win ball games. And I think let's say realistically, to get into a playoff spot, the Sox probably need to be, you know, to have 88, 89 wins, right? I think that's a fair conservative number. Nico, do you think that's fair?
I would say that's probably where they need to be.
Okay, so let's say they need to get to 88 wins. That means they have to go 19-10. If they need to get to 89 wins, that means they have to go, if they get to 89 wins, they have to go 20-10.
I don't feel great about them doing either of those things, though.
Actually, they have to go 20-9. There's my bad math there, Nico. I knew I would screw that up. But you don't feel good about it?
No, I don't feel good about those odds at all.
I don't know if I'm necessarily feeling good about it, but I'm willing to at least entertain that it's possible.
It's certainly possible. I mean, I'll give them credit for coming in, getting this win today. I mean, I thought this is easily Bayo's best performance of the season, if not his career, to be honest with you.
I think it's the best. I think unequivocally it's the best performance of his career. The way he was dialed in from the get-go, with the first inning, he strikes out back-to-back batters, Dalton Varshow and then Vladimir Guerrero Jr., 13 pitches, 10 strikes. And he was just locked in, and it translated the rest of the night that he goes, you know, after giving up a double in the second inning, he goes four full innings after that before giving up a hit in the seventh. I mean, it was remarkable, and it gets lost in this game, but Chris Bassitt was really good for the Blue Jays tonight, but Bayo is just better.
And
that's the types of starts you want in a guy that you've locked up that long.
I also think the situation, too, they would have lost what? How they lose this game and Bayo doesn't play this well, you lose six of your last seven or something like that. Like that, they had to win this game tonight, and they won this on the back of Brian Bayo, which I feel like we haven't really said a whole lot in his career, and definitely not this season. Honestly, I felt like he's been pretty short of expectations this season, probably because the expectations were too high coming in. But even for like those, I feel like, who have reasonable expectations, he hasn't met them up until this point here. Yeah. I don't think this is all of a sign of a good season, but maybe he's turning the corner down for the push, and that could help him keep it close. But at the end of the day, I do kind of feel the way Wally does, in that we can't get too excited over just this one win, as much as I know people will like to. Overall, I feel like they'll keep it close, but they're really not going to get in. Like, if they finish four games out at the end of all this, it wouldn't shock me.
I wouldn't shock me either, but I just mentioned this before, before we even hit the pregame show, and I was talking with the guys in the WEEI afternoon show. I was like, am I a sucker for like believing that this team can now accomplish some things down the stretch here? Maybe, probably, but I just look at the teams that they have coming up, and you know, Nico, I will say this too, like, and we're gonna keep getting to the calls here, 617-779-7937. Playing clean baseball is just so important. And the defense has been really good back-to-back nights. Now, they didn't have to utilize all that much tonight because Bayo was so good. 10 strikeouts from the pitching staff. And shout-out Kenley Jansen. He tossed just six pitches, all of which for strikes. He struck out a batter. It was a pretty dominant 1-2-3 ninth inning, and he's been really good again this year. But when you play clean baseball, good things happen. And for the Sox at home, when they've been able to actually play clean baseball, I think the numbers are 19-10 now in games at home in which they've committed no errors and have allowed no unearned runs. So try to continue to follow that formula. Again, they're errors-wise, most Major League Baseball coming into the night, so that's not exactly been the formula all season long. But I don't know. I'm not willing to give up yet because I think the offense is so good. I think the one underlying thing here is that Rafael Devers has been not in the lineup back-to-back days because of sore shoulders, And eventually they're going to need to get him back in the lineup. So that is one unanswered question. We'll see if it is. Alex Cora did say it's either going to be tomorrow or Friday. Hopefully we do see him in the lineup one of those days. 617-779-7937. The number to call in here for Red Sox Review. Let's go back to the phones. We go to AJ in Dover. He wants to talk about tonight's win. What's going on, AJ?
How's it going, man?
Yeah, it's going
well. Nice win.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with the other prior caller when he said poking out O'Neill must have woke him up a little, because I know last night he was probably insulted about those Duvall comments. So he popped one for me. But I actually, you know, I wasn't really going to write them off. You know, I did think it was a little precarious being like five games out this late in the season, but I also looked at Minnesota as opposed to the Orioles as not as being the ones that could probably be caught, you know, because the Royals have stood up against like top competition, and I don't see them folding. So I actually think there's a sneaky comment that John Henry made before the season that's getting overlooked after this much of a sample size, but when he touted William Abreu getting 400 at-bats, you know, I think that he was encompassing, like, all those youngsters, but specifically targeting him. And I think that they're willing to roll with the growing pains. And I'm not going to put an indictment that they completely are just have no effort until maybe they don't spend this offseason or they don't pursue, a trade or willing to give up a top-10 prospect if it means getting a frontline pitcher. And also, what's the chances, do you think, of Rafaela and Abreu maybe coming to a decision on who could win Rookie of the Year and then putting a big campaign out there to vote one or the other so they don't steal votes from one another?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a shame if one of them don't win because of that. And I just see that happening. I got a nice little sweet +850 bet, put a few dollars down on Rafaela, but, man, Abreu is looking real good, too. I may want to sprinkle a little bit on him, but I really think that they should campaign to not steal votes from one another. And on a lower key note, that gets a competitive draft pick, too. So further bolstering up the farm system.
There you go. AJ, it was interesting. There was a note from Boston Sports Info that I'm trying to find. I just found it right now. The Red Sox could become only the second team in Major League history to have three rookies finish with wins above replacement at or over 2.5. And so you have David Hamilton, you have Seydon Rafaela, you have Willier Abreu. I mean, how cool is that, though, that, AJ, we're having this discussion where it's like, okay, maybe I know you're joking, like campaign one so that one of them wins, but they have two guys that are really a part of the conversation in a big way, and Willier Abreu and Seydon Rafaela. You know, it's interesting. My thought on it is that Willier Abreu is the one I would put the vote toward if I had to choose between the two. But then the other side of my brain says, hey, what about the fact that Seydon Rafaela has had to figure out, not that he had to figure out because he was already good at both spots.
The high degree of difficulty between both spots.
Right, to have to play center and shortstop.
Those are high stress positions, and he's playing both really well.
Exactly. And AJ, I appreciate the call. Oh, go ahead. What did you? I end up letting AJ go before he wanted to get that final thought in. I just wanted to rattle off this nugget here from the Red Sox PR staff. So Seydon Rafaela is the first player since at least 1901 to play 60-plus games each at shortstop and center field. I mean, it's one of those things that we talk about a lot, but it really is mind-boggling that he's been able to handle all this as a rookie. There's more to be desired from him offensively, and frankly, this was a type of game where you saw that because he chased pitches out of the zone and struck out in the second and seventh inning because he chased one out of the zone with two strikes. But he's handled so much as a rookie this year, playing center, playing shortstop, that you just can't help but marvel at the way he's been able to handle it in a market like this where Boston's just different. Even though I know the feeling around this team, especially coming into the year, it was not quite what it was in years past. But it is interesting sometimes when we talk about the attendance stuff with Fenway, and not to say that it's not a fair discussion, but good crowd again tonight. But I think the point I'm trying to make is you go to other places, even where teams are playing well, and they still struggle to sell out. People still care about this team. They always will. It's the Boston Red Sox, even if the expectations coming into the season aren't that high. And Rafaela, knowing that there's a microscope on him, he's been able to deliver more good than bad this year. And especially on that defensive end, even though the advanced metrics say he's not good at shortstop, he's composed himself pretty well over there, and he's made some tough plays, and he makes plays look easy sometimes that are tough. And to me, that's the most fun thing to watch. 617-779-7937 here on Red Sox Review. If you missed it, Sox won 3-0. Brian Bayo, 8 innings of shutout baseball. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Joe in Saugus. What's going on, Joe?
Hi, good evening. I want to get your thoughts about why Mickett Gasper's still on the roster, and you need, you know, probably bring up Nick Sogard. You know, he's playing well up here. Devers is hurt. You know, he's not 100%. So you're kind of short with depth, you know, with the infield, like, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's actually a pretty interesting question there. And we'll see how the Devers thing plays out, Joe. And appreciate the call if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. They like having Mickey Gasper here because he can catch. But, you know, that's one of the positions that he does play, so he can get behind home plate if need be in an emergency situation. So he does provide that versatility. I don't disagree with Joe in the fact that Nick Sogard was composed when he was up here with the Sox in the short amount of time that he was before he got ultimately transferred back down to Worcester. You know, the numbers don't jump out. He only had .227 with an OPS of .550, but I thought he, again, showed composure being out there on the field. It's a possibility that he could come back in the instance that Devers gets put on the injured list. I don't think that's going to happen, even though it is concerning back-to-back days he's not in the starting lineup, but I think they like having Gasper here for the moment because he provides a slight bit more positional versatility. But we'll see how things go. Romy Gonzalez has been starting at third base. You know, offensively, he hasn't provided much. 0-for-3 today. And then yesterday, you went 1-for-4. But he's been a great depth piece to have this year. You can't deny that he has been a nice part of the bench that Alex Cora has been able to utilize. And you give him spot starts, and, you know, he's been pretty good. I know these guys, you know, I say these guys mean our play-by-play guys here, you know, they've rattled this off a ton. But, you know, Romy Gonzalez coming into the game, he's got hits in 23 of his 28 starts, hitting close to .300, .293 average. I like what he brings to the table, and I cannot believe that the White Sox let him go for nothing. I still can't believe that. And by the way, when they show the standings on the scoreboard, and I'm getting a little off topic here, I promise I'll rein myself back in. I can't help but chuckle when they show the AL Central standings and the way that shakes out. Because if you haven't paid attention at all to the AL Central, it's becoming a pretty interesting race. Because the Guardians have the top spot they won today against the Royals. So now they're a game up on Kansas City. They're 76-58. Royals 75-59, one game back of them. Minnesota in the playoff picture now, but they're 72-61. By the way, they've lost 8 of their last 10 after losing tonight. And the Sox now 3 games back. If you missed that, Twins lost again to the Braves. So 3 out of the Sox with 29 to go. But going back to the AL Central, so you have 3 teams kind of bungled within one another in a 3.5 game span. The Detroit Tigers are now above .500. At 67-66, 8.5 back of the AL Central, but they're kind of in the wild card picture now. And then you have the White Sox, who are 31-102, and 44 and a half games back of the Cleveland Guardians. I just laugh when they show that on the scoreboard. And by the way, again, if you didn't know, the Sox do have the White Sox coming up on the schedule. They'll be playing them at home from September 6th to the 8th here at Fenway Park. So even though they did split the series in Chicago, hopefully that time around the Sox can really hammer a team that hasn't really shown up at all this year, 31-102. Again, 617-779-7937, the number to call here for Red Sox Review. You can also text us at 37937 as well. Sox win 3-0. Brian Bayo dominant on the mound tonight for Boston in a big way. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up on the program right after this on WEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Here's a ground ball on the left side, a base hit, not hit hard. It's through on the left. Duran is coming around toward the plate. Here comes the throw from Loperfido, not in time. And the Red Sox lead 1-0.
Moved to second on a ground out, scored on a two-out single by Willier Abreu. Swing and a miss. And a nifty changeup, an easy 1-2-3 inning for Bayo. And now O'Neill swings and hits a drive to left, way back and gone. Into the second row of the monster seats. A two-run homer for Tyler O'Neill and a 3-0 Red Sox lead.
Those are the big highlights from tonight's game. Willier Abreu got it going offensively. RBI single in the first. That was all the Red Sox pitching staff needed tonight. Brian Bayo, 8 shutout innings, 9 strikeouts. The 8 innings, by the way, a career high for Brian Bayo. And because of his great performance today, he is the youngest Red Sox pitcher with a start of 8 or more scoreless innings with at least 9 strikeouts since John Lester in 2008. So pretty good company for Brian Bayo. Obviously, it's been a rocky road for him this season, but he came through in a big way tonight. And the main takeaway that I've gathered from tonight, outside of the Brian Bayo side of things, because that is the A1 story, how well he pitched tonight. But I think what's another big takeaway from today in general for this Sox team is they're back to having fun. And that was something that they talked about after Monday's 2 losses. They needed to get back to the team that got them to the point where they were in playoff contention. Because it was looking dreary. 5 games out, and the vibes, you know, the feeling was down after 2 kind of lifeless performances at Fenway with the completed suspended game and then the regular game there on Monday. But credit to Alex Cora, I think, for telling the guys, you know, let's come in a little bit later. This was for Tuesday. Come in a little bit later, you know, get your mind right, do what you need to do. And Tristan Casas, after that game that they won, the Tuesday 6-3 victory, spoke to our crew about how much that helped him mentally and how he felt like that was a reset that the team needed. And then Rob Bradford, just tweeting this out, this is a quote from Tyler O'Neill, who spoke to our crew after the game and pretty much said the same thing, but just to read the quote that Bradford has here, kudos to Alex Cora for shutting the clubhouse down, getting us in later, keep the energy flowing. We were able to show up, and the boys were bouncing out there today. I think guys are just more excited. Overall, it's just better for us. We're having fun again. And in some ways, that is the key for this team. Get back to having fun, enjoying themselves, and enjoying the game of baseball, which they hadn't for a short amount of time. But they've gotten back to it. And you saw it when I got here to the ballpark. I got here, you know, roughly around 4 o'clock, and you look out of the field, and all of a sudden you see this flag out there, and you're wondering, from my vantage point, okay, what is this? And then you figure it out. This is they ended up playing the Sox, the players, they went up onto the monster to play a little golf. There was a chipping competition to set the fantasy draft order for the players that are a part of a fantasy football league. They're going out there and just having fun. And by the way, Danny Jansen won that, so congratulations on drafting Christian McCaffrey, Danny Jansen. Chris Martin was second in that competition. Trevor Story was third. But I thought it was very fun to see a team that's in the midst of a playoff race kind of get back to enjoying the game, but on top of that, enjoying each other. Because one thing that's made this team fun is the chemistry that they've had pretty much the entire year. A lot of different fun personalities, even guys that aren't here anymore, like a Dom Smith, and we obviously wish the best to him now that he's with Cincinnati. But I thought seeing that out, you know, kind of unfold here was really fun. Maybe that doesn't happen after a loss if they lose on Tuesday, but sometimes you can't always be so serious. You just can't. You have to loosen yourself up a little bit. And I think this team, if they've earned anything from us, it is the benefit of the doubt that they're working their tails off day in, day out. Because for all the things we could talk about, and we will continue to do that as this season moves along, even if the Sox do end up falling out of playoff contention, effort is not the problem. And I thought it was so cool to see the team kind of take a step back from baseball and enjoy themselves, go out there and do something fun. And then, oh yeah, when it gets, you know, a game comes around and even the hours closer to the game get around, lock back in, be good to go. Because we're hearing from everybody now that there was a draining feeling in that clubhouse after losing those two games to the Blue Jays. So instead of saying, hey, let's get here early and do more work, maybe sometimes a step back is the right thing. And that takes a manager who has a good feeling for the pulse of this club. And Alex Cora has that, and that's why he's getting paid the big bucks. And you heard, I just rattled off the quote there from Tyler O'Neill. You heard it in the Nissan post-game show when he spoke to Sean and Will and Lou about, you know, his feeling of where things are at. I mean, it was actually funny. He talked about getting here a little early. He got here at 3:30 and the doors were locked to the clubhouse. That was the point that Alex Cora was trying to make to his team. Hey, let's take a breather here and go out there, enjoy ourselves, but let's get back to winning and get ourselves in the right mindset of a mental reset. And they've done that. Still some ground to cover, though. Obviously. Three games out now with the Twins losing, 29 games left in the season, and they'll try to pick up a series victory tomorrow against the Jays. Cutter Crawford getting the start for the Sox. Innings-wise, he's already well over his career high, by over 20 innings, and he will be going opposite of Bowden Francis for the Blue Jays, who's been pitching well as of late. So they take care of Chris Bassitt, even though he was pretty good, but Brian Baio was better. Best outing of his career for Brian Baio. He's the star of the game, star of the night. He's the talking point of the night. That was awesome to see. But now they got to go after Francis, who has pitched really well. Last three starts, by the way, 22 combined innings, 2 earned runs, 27 strikeouts. So it'll be a tough battle tomorrow against him because he's pitched really well. But right-handed pitcher, Sox have taken care of a lot of those this year. And we'll see if they can pick up the series victory. But it's getting fun to watch again. 3 games out, 29 to go. Thank you to Nico Manganiello. Great work back at WEI. I'm Joe Weil giving you the final one final time before signing off. Red Sox 3, Blue Jays nothing. Thanks for listening to Red Sox Review here on WEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!